Today, Red Alert from the Banker's Banker. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The Bank for International Settlements, the Banker's Banker, has released their latest annual report. In fact, we looked at the section on how banks are fudging their ratios in our earlier post, Are Some Banks Cooking the Books? But within the 114 pages, the BIS report also painted a worrying picture of where the global economy stands. They say it's caught in a permanent trap of boom-bust financial cycles, a deformed structure becoming ever more corrosive and dangerous as debt ratios rise to heady levels. Implicitly, the current settings, they say, are wrong. In fact, the risks in the global monetary system remain from the Lehman crisis of 2008, and aggregate debt ratios are almost 40% points of GDP higher than a decade ago. The BIS report says global US dollar funding markets are likely to be a key pressure point during any future market stress episode. There are significant rollover risks, as sizable parts of banks' US dollar funding rely on short-term instruments, for example, repos and currency swaps. What makes this global picture so combustible is the legacy of cheap dollars that washed across international finance when the Fed slashed rates to zero and launched quantitative easing. Offshore dollar debt outside US jurisdictions with no direct lender of last resort behind it has risen by 50% to 10.5 trillion US dollars since 2008. You could say that the US dollar itself acts as a kind of fear gauge. When it strengthens, banks in Europe and Asia shrink balance sheets through the mechanisms of hedged contracts. But any rise in US borrowing costs is transmitted rapidly through the global system. China, for example, is not immune, and the levels of leverage are off the charts for a developing country. Total debt is 255% of GDP. Claudia Borio, the BIS's chief economist, said that in fact the current, now aging cycle could finish much the same explosive way as last time, contrary to the widespread belief that the financial crisis of 2008 was a once-in-a-century event, which was caused by speculators. The end may come to resemble more closely a financial boom gone wrong, just as the latest recession showed, with a vengeance. This is a dark warning, coming as it does from the organisation which is effectively the peak body for central bankers around the world. This is no fringe movement. This is the brain of the banking system speaking. They identify the risks stemming from the US Federal Reserve upping the pace of monetary tightening. Policy normalisation presents unprecedented challenges which could trigger or amplify a financial bust in the more vulnerable countries. In fact, a decade of ultra-loose money has kept the lid on debt servicing costs and masked risks. But the 2008 issues are not fixed. The overarching issue is the global economy's sensitivity to high interest rates. Fed rate rises will start to drain the global system of dollar liquidity, setting off a dollar squeeze and driving up borrowing costs across much of the world, the report said. Aggregate debt ratios are almost 40% points of GDP higher than a decade ago. Looking around, the rises have been enormous. China up 191, Canada up 70, France up 67, Japan up 52, and Korea up 49. The Anglo-Saxons have been more restrained, with the UK up just a mere 36 and the US up to 29, but they were already steeped in debt. Canada, on the other hand, has broken through the safety barrier with a roaring property boom and is in many ways mirroring Australia. But the BIS says central banks are on the horns of a dilemma. As the report says, a strategy of gradualism is no panacea, as it may encourage further risk-taking. So, do you lift rates sharply, as the Fed has done, or do you go more slowly? Both are fraught with difficulty. They call this the great unwinding of the debt-laden stimulus. And again, it seems we are in uncertain and uncharted territory. Mr. Borio said that the gloom was overdone early last year, but now exuberant investors may be making the opposite error, with the world 12 months further into a stretched financial cycle. Has sentiment swung too far, he asks. The truth is, those hoping to time global asset markets by waiting for the usual signs that the cycle has peaked risk being caught off guard. The deflationary forces of technology and the globalized labor force means that trouble can creep up on them before inflation emits the usual warning signals. The bank says the center of risks has rotated mostly from Western economies to East Asia and the emerging market nexus, though Europe's banks remain risk-laden too. This spells trouble. Developing countries now account for the lion's share of global growth. For example, credit to GDP gaps have reached levels signaling elevated risks in a number of emerging market economies, it said. The banking system is as badly stretched in parts of Asia as it was in Europe and America in 2008. The BIS stress model measures how far credit growth has raced ahead of trend rates for each economy. Any reading above 10 percentage points of GDP is a red alert. And it's reached 30.3 in Hong Kong, 24.6 in China, 14.1 in Canada, 11.3 in Thailand, 9.7 in Malaysia, 9.3 in Indonesia, 9 in Mexico, and 7.2 in Turkey. So all are vulnerable. So is Switzerland at 7.6. The gauge flags trouble 3 years in advance. The longer it goes on, the worse it is. The debt service ratios for Hong Kong, China and Canada suggest that they would be in serious trouble if interest rates were to rise by 250 basis points or 2.5%. France and Australia are borderline. The bank says that under the old Phillips curve model, wage growth would pick up late in the cycle as the economy reached full employment. This would lead to an incipient wage price spiral. Inflation would pick up. The Fed and other central banks would then hit the brakes and put rates up. It would usually end in recession. But globalization has suppressed the inflation warning signal. The entry of 2 billion people into the global economy from China and Eastern Europe has dampened wage growth. And as a result, a substantial and lasting flare-up of inflation does not seem likely, the BIS said. Instead, the excess stimulus driven by low rates has simply gone into asset bubbles instead. It may look benign if inflation is low, but the BIS argues that it is extremely damaging. The cycle ends with a financial crisis. In fact, my read is that the BIS is saying, in bankers speak perhaps, that the big central banks misread the globalization era with too much stimulus letting asset booms run, but then stepped in with maximum stimulus in busts. The Fed and others have in effect drawn forward prosperity from the future. It takes ever lower real interest rates with each cycle to hold the system together. And at some point, interest rates will hit the limit. So now the way ahead is fraught with danger as rates are lifted. The risks of a financial crisis follow and the prospect of a benign set of outcomes is now fading. But the BIS says the only way for the world to dig itself out of this hole is to raise productivity from its current anemic levels. Countries, they say, must reform and shift fiscal policy from consumption to investment. And in a parting shot, the report said the most destructive course is to undermine free trade itself and impose trade tariffs and other forms of protectionism. Rolling back globalization would be as foolhardy as rolling back technological change, Mr. Borrier said. So there you have it, as clear an articulation of the underlying issues which are driving us towards the rocks, and quite a clip. I still hold 2019 as the critical year. My four scenarios still seem about right, with risk biased towards more concerning outcomes. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or a question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.